I take the promised Holy Ghost. The blessed power of Pentecost to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God He undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Be seated, please. The 8th Psalm and the verse 1 and the verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. And then verse 9, the last verse of the psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. This verse and this psalm is dealing with the veil of time. And how great is that veil. But that veil of time is rent from time to time by the visitation of God into men's homes, into men's lives, and into men's labors. Time is that never-resting thing. It rolls on. It rushes on. It is swift. It is silent. It is speedy. Like the tides of the greatest ocean, time is a perpetual mystery. It is the stern warden who takes away our liberty and strikes humanity deaf and dumb and helpless. But we need to remember that time is not the sovereign. We need to remember that time is not the king. We need to remember that time is not independent. That time is ordered. It is marshaled. It is obedient. God has set up His own measurement on time. God has set up His own marking on time. And God has set up His own majesty of time. The sun is part of the majesty of time. The moon is part of the mastery of time. The stars are part of the marking of time. The mighty oceans are part of the timing of the whole of universal time. Think of these words in Psalm 8. What other 9 verses could deliver such a message? Here we have the lifetime of time, and it is set out very quickly, but very majestically. Everything about this psalm has the stamp of the everlasting gospel on it. Isn't it interesting when we come to look at the psalm that the first animal mentioned is the animal of sacrifice? All sheep. All sheep. The oxen was for labor. The sheep was for the sacrifice. The Holy Ghost that wrote the Bible didn't make any mistakes. Everything in this book is in order. And you will notice that we are told something about man. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. The wonder of it all. Time, of course, is unstoppable. And the great mystery of time is that if there was no other, this silent, never resting thing called time rolls on, runs on. It is swift, it is silent, like the still waters of a sleeping ocean. But when we swim, as we do, as human beings, in the depths of this tide, then suddenly we become lost. In its passing onwards and away, we have no say whatsoever. It silences us instantly, and before we can argue, we are gripped with what? That time for us is no more. We are in eternity. Now, the special opportunities that time brings to us are opportunities indeed. Time cannot be hemmed in. We cannot stop it. We cannot call back even 1/100th part of 1 second of time. Almighty power. All human understanding, all in which we have no say, generates time. Its generation is constant. It is continual. Let me put down some markers to you tonight about time. There is a day when our eternal happiness can be assured. And if you pick up your Bible and look with me at Luke chapter 19, you will find there in Luke's Gospel chapter 19 and verse 41, you will find there something about God and time, and what a wonderful thing this is. And then if you look with me at Ezekiel chapter 24:13 and Revelation chapter 22:11, you will find what time does in regard to humanity. The opportunity comes to you through time. It is time to seek the Lord. What time is that? That is now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. It is time for you, sinner, to seek the Lord. But that time will pass away. There is no calling back of time. Luke's Gospel 13, 26 and 27. And Ecclesiastics 9 and verse 10. Time can never be recalled. It is wholly uncertain to every soul whether the present time of this meeting is your last time to be saved. We know not what a day may bring forth. This could be my last sermon. This could be my last address to you from this pulpit. This could be the last night I'll ever live. I don't know. But time comes to an end for every one of us. And as soon as time ends, what happens? Eternity immediately begins. Eternity! Eternity! Where? Time is over. Eternity has come. Read James chapter 4 and 13. And Luke's Gospel, chapter 12 and 20. As soon as time ends, eternity begins. The stream of death enters a man's body. And when it enters a man or woman's body, it drives them into the great ocean of what? Eternity. How long art thou, eternity? And yet to thee time hastes away, like as a war horse to the fray, or swift as courtiers homeward go, or ship to port, or shaft from bow. Ponder, O man, eternity. Eternity. How long art thou, eternity? Forever as in perfect sphere, end nor beginning can appear, even so eternity in thee, entrance not, exit, can there be. Ponder, O man of eternity. Eternity. How long art thou, eternity? A circle infinite art thou, thy center and eternal now. Never we name thy outward bound, for never end therein is found. Ponder, O man, eternity. Eternity, how long art thou, eternity? As long as God is God, so long. Endure the pains of hell and wrong, so long the joys of heaven remain. O lasting joy, O lasting pain. Ponder, O man, eternity. My Bible tells me that there is one thing we can do about time, and that is we can redeem it. We're to redeem the time because the days are evil. You and I have laid upon us a never-ending labor all the time we're on this world of time. It is to redeem the time. Even the very heathen themselves learned that lesson. And some of the most stirring warnings about the suddenness of death, the length of eternity, the warning that life ends without notice, were the theme of what heathen writers wrote. Pithecus said in one of his books, "Know your time. Lose not a minute of it. For every minute of time for you is all important." That was not a Christian. That was a pagan. Seneca said, "Time is the only thing that we can be innocently conscious of. And yet there is nothing which we are not more lavish and profusely prodigal of." One of Hadrian's servants, when he misspent time during the day, said, "I sit up all night to recover what I have lost." It is not only our labor we have to answer for, it's our leisure we must also answer for. Alas, everyone on this globe, Christian and sinner, we're all guilty of trifling with that that God has put into our hand the day we were born, and will take out of our hand the day we die. Time. Most certainly, these heathens will witness against us in the great day of judgment, because they will witness that we knew all about time and its privilege and its opportunity, but instead of using it for our salvation, we used it sinfully for our damnation. How speedily time presses us by. How quick is the destruction of time. It comes with a swift angel. There's a battle for us all. It's not for yesterday. It's not for tomorrow. It's for today. It's for tonight, this very hour. It was old Archbishop Usher who became the first Protestant Archbishop of Armagh who said, "We must not let today go past us. If we have a hard heart, if we have a provoking heart, then as long as it continues hard, it contrives with our heart to provoke our God. And despising the Holy Ghost is the result and the sin that we commit. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart." Are you hardening your heart today? Could I ask you, my friend, a very unpleasant question? How long have you hardened your heart against God? This is not the first gospel service that you have sat in. This is not the first time you've heard the preacher preach faithfully that time is short and eternity is long. You have heard it. You have known that all your life, that there is no dallying with God. You must take His offer now in the matter of your salvation. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. You have been hardening your heart, sinner, for a very long time. Let me remind you that tomorrow is not yours. Tomorrow is not yours. I know that tomorrow is a courteous traitor, a smiling assassin, who pretends that for your good you can say no to God, for you still have tomorrow. Could I tell you tonight, in the Savior's name, you have no possession of tomorrow. It could slip through your fingers in a second of time. When Martin Luther was leading his great crusade at the Reformation, there were those in the Church of Rome who saw the inward way that the Reformation was grasping the hearts of men, so they decided to have a conference. The business of the conference is, how can we stop Martin Luther? The Congress went into session. And one man stood up and argued one way. Another man stood up and argued another. But one man stood up and he said, Luther is a German beast. There's only one thing you can do with a beast is buy him off. And they discussed the matter of how they could buy Luther off. But amongst them, strange to relate, there was a wise man. And he stood off and he said, I tell you, Martin Luther will never be bought off. He has something in his soul that completely satisfies him. And everyone he preaches to, he tells them of it. And if they take his Christ, they too have joy and peace and satisfaction. And all the sins they used to commit in the revelry of their unconverted days, they have left them far behind them. Luther's too far in front of you. You can't buy him off. Of course, eternity cannot be bribed. You cannot give eternity money to keep eternity from landing at your door in its own time and cause you to pass into the great eternity. No money ever minted can bring or buy up the truth. But today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. There was a deaf and dumb institute in Paris, and a man from England went to see the deaf and dumb in that institute. He was an inquisitive man. He was a nasty man. And those are running the deaf and dumb institute in Paris resented that he had come to their institute. And he stood up and he says, give me a crayon and give me the blackboard. And he wrote up, what is eternity? A young man, deaf and dumb, in front of him in the schoolroom, put up his hand and nodded that he wanted to go to the blackboard. He got up from his seat and he wrote these words, eternity is the lifetime of Almighty God. That's what eternity is. The lifetime of Almighty God. Can you measure the lifetime of Almighty God? If you can, you will have some idea of the length of eternity. You're sitting in this house tonight. You are hearing the opportunity of salvation through the grace and the power of the gospel. To reject the Son of God tonight is to put yourself in danger of eternity. How long is it? For the lifetime of Almighty God. Just think about that. The lifetime of Almighty God. Shall the fires of hell burn out? No, not until the lifetime of Almighty God. Will the door of the great prison house of damnation ever open? No, not for the lifetime of Almighty God. Will no hope ever lighten my eyes if I'm damned? Over all hell's wards, over all hell's doors, over hell's walls, there is these words, eternity is the lifetime of God. Eternity. Eternity. Where will you be in eternity? Great Methodist preacher in the United States of America said this, Dr. Payson, add together ages to ages. Multiply them by the leaves on the trees, the sand on the seashore, and the dust of the earth. Still you will be no nearer to the termination of Jehovah's existence than when you first began your calculation. And let us remember that the duration of his existence is only the measure of our own. As far as the future is concerned, you are as immortal as God himself. To be damned is to be damned forever. To be lost is to be lost forever. To be in God, under God's judgment. Is to be forever in hell. Eternity, eternity, where wilt thou spend eternity? O thou eternal, glorious Lord, thy gracious presence now afford, to all our souls thine influence bring, while of eternity we sing. Eternity, stupendous theme, compared here with our life's a dream. Eternity, O awful sound, a deep where all our thoughts are drowned. eternity, the dread abode, the habitation of our God. His glory fills a vast expanse beyond the reach of mortal sense. But an eternity there is of endless woe or joyful bliss, and swift as time fulfills its round, we to eternity are bound. And is eternity so near? And must we all and soon be there? Prepare your souls. O blessed God, prepare our souls to meet our long, our last abode. Ye gracious souls, with joy look up. In Christ rejoice your glorious hope. This everlasting bliss secures. God and eternity are yours. God and eternity can be yours tonight. Jesus saith, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. God says in his word, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The free offer of the gospel is the great gospel of the book of God. It's offered to you. Free, without money and without price. Are you going to let the devil fool you tonight? Are you going to let hell and darkness cover your heart? Are you going to go out of this gospel preaching place into the darkness of a lost eternity? Eternity! Eternity! Where will I be in eternity? That's the question you need to answer tonight. That's the question that you need to answer the right way. For woe be to your damned soul if you reject the Son of God. How dark will eternity's night be? How black will eternity's hell be? How tormenting shall eternity's punishment be to the soul that said no to the Lord Jesus? Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in his word, he shows us a way. Here in our midst, he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Make haste to the cross. Tarry not in all the plain. Get to the mountain of Calvary. Throw yourself at the feet of the crucified Christ and say, Lord Jesus, save my soul. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than snow. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank thee that amidst the darkness of eternity that's lost, there is the bright light of the cross and of pardon and of peace and life everlasting. Help sinners in this meeting to come to Christ, to wait no longer, but to press into the kingdom of God. I pray that you would draw man and woman to yourself this night. May they come to the Savior. May they make no delay, for here in our midst, he's standing today, and he's tenderly saying, come. O God, help sinners to come to thee tonight. In the silent moments of this meeting, could I say I'll be in my room just behind the pulpit right now? I believe God has been speaking loudly in this meeting to precious souls. I'm here, your servant, for Jesus' sake. Come and see me. Let me kneel with you and point you to Christ. Flee from the wrath to come. Seek safety in the hiding in the wounds of Jesus. And may God's grace and God's peace and God's mercy be with us. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Amen.